Call Committee of the Whole for February 1st to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Excuse me. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move on to item two, memorandum of understanding regarding baseball commons and proposed mixed-use development to possibly be located at the vicinity of the Rock Sports Complex. Mr. Hertzberg.
Before you this evening is a memorandum of understanding proposed by Zimmerman Ventures regarding
the record reflect that the Alderwoman Mayer has arrived at 6:32.
The MOU is regarding the ballpark commons development. The MOU provides a description of the project, but we received a more thorough presentation on January 11th at the special meeting of the Common Council. The proposed MOU is very different than the MOU that was considered and rejected in 2014. This MOU takes a much more measured approach. The city attorney and I reviewed the MOU in its draft form and have it prepared for you this evening. At this stage, the developer is seeking only to formalize what they're considering a good faith agreement with the city to advance the design of the project and related infrastructure and to analyze its economic feasibility and the need for and appropriate terms of a public-private partnership in the form of tax incremental financing district. The MOU commits the city to doing four things: assist the developer in seeking necessary zoning, planning, and use approvals, jointly investigate necessary infrastructure work to support the project and partnership opportunities to complete such work, engage a financial consultant to assist in reviewing the developer's market feasibility study, evaluating the need for and appropriateness of a tax incremental financing district, and initiate the process to create a tax incremental financing district as determined necessary, and establish a weekly meeting schedule to advise of progress and coordinate efforts. To be clear, these steps are fairly routine for city staff. Providing assistance in seeking approvals, investigating infrastructure requirements and partnerships, and regular meetings are part of the natural development process and are offered for all proposed projects in the city of Franklin. The additional action stated in the MOU is to hire a financial consultant to assist in reviewing the project. While the step is not taken with every project, it is a reasonable step based on the size of the project and its location within and abutting an ongoing master plan area already discussed to be part of a tax increment and financing district. In this case, provides the opportunity for the city to more thoroughly evaluate the developer's proposal and better understand the appropriateness of the district. In turn, the developer will take action to advance plans, apply for city approvals, each requiring council approval, continue resident and business outreach, engage Milwaukee County and the Department of Natural Resources regarding their reviews and participation in various aspects of the project, produce a market feasibility study, explore a payment in lieu of taxes to the city of Franklin for non-taxable county land, and explore grants and other funding sources. Regardless of your action on the MOU, the developer will still need to apply for zoning, planning, and use approvals as outlined in the city's Unified Development Ordinance, and the appropriateness and terms of a tax increment and financing district will still need to be evaluated and formed with your input and approval. I want to reiterate, the MOU does not commit the city to awarding any of these approvals or otherwise offering financial support for the project. The MOU shows good faith to the developer as the city continues to evaluate the appropriateness and viability of the project. If the MOU is approved, and as the project moves forward, the MOU may be revisited over time and amended with your approval. Based on the reasonableness of the request for the city actions at this time and the numerous future opportunities that will exist for oversight of various aspects of the project, staff recommends approval of the motion to sign the attached MOU with Zimmerman Ventures.
Thank you, Mr. Hertzberg. Questions? Any questions for staff? Well, go ahead. Let's do Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Mayor, then Alderwoman Mayor, sorry, Dan, and then Alderman Mayor.
A couple of subjects that I would like to broach. Number one, do you know what the status is with the Zimmerman Group as far as purchasing a section of the Crystal Ridge Drive that would from the county? Has there been any progress in that area?
The state parcel?
That was from the, was it the state parcel?
8.1 acres? State.
Yeah. State land. I don't know the current status of it. The last time I spoke with the development team, they were nearing a closing for the parcel. I haven't heard whether that closing actually occurred or has been delayed, what the current status is. There are individuals representing the project in the room. If you'd like to pursue
make
that.
Make a motion to suspend the rules for the...
Second.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Steve and Dan.
For the applicant.
Thank
you.
No problem.
Mr. Marzal? Mr. Lincoln?
Yeah.
One
yes,
of you guys?
Whoever's going to answer the questions.
Sure. Because I have another question for him also.
You're only allowed one at a time. Come on, sit down, Greg. Right. Name and address, please, Greg.
Certainly. Greg Marzal, 8820 South 68th Street. The question regarding the 8.1 acres of the DOT-owned property, we are expected to close this week. All the funds have been done. They're just waiting on a signature, and we're expecting to have the deed approved and in hand by the end of the week.
Okay. Now, my other question relates to you have several mixed-use facilities as part of your grand scheme here. Is there a potential that one of those mixed-use facilities could incorporate a community center that would certainly benefit a large group of our constituents? The seniors would certainly, I think, be a valuable ally in this venture if we could come up with that community center that's been so evasive for so many years.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we'd love to have a community center as part of the project, and if we can find a way to fit it in, and if it makes sense, we'd love to have it as part of the project.
That's very encouraging.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aaron, one of your quotes was that the this is a more measured approach than the last MOU. Can you explain that?
Sure. The last MOU that was brought forth in 2014 went much deeper in detail, actually outlining terms of a tax incremental financing district and getting much more specific about details of the project. The MOU that's before you today is much more broad in approach. It's looking at, again, reaching sort of the what's been determined as good faith between the parties, saying a general working understanding about responsibilities for the city and for the developer, not getting deep into the specific details of any financing structure or infrastructure improvements, things of that nature. And so I consider it much more measured in its approach, understanding it's still relatively early in the process.
Okay. And then in the sheets before us, it says, in the MOU commits the developer paragraph,
mm-hmm.
says that we negotiate a pilot agreement. You said explore a pilot agreement. To me, those are two different words. What's in here?
Sure.
To me, kind of says that we've already agreed to do something like that, and I guess that wasn't my understanding. This was just... My question at the last meeting at the library was just, you know, what is that? And they said that there is an option to do this. So, I mean, that's a pretty strong word to say that
sure.
you're going to negotiate.
So they're suggesting that they would like to negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes. As I think you all understand, a portion of the proposed project is on county land. Because it's on county land, it doesn't pay property taxes to the city. But this city often cases... provide services to that land. And so there's a suggestion here that they would look to make a payment in lieu of taxes for that land.
Okay. And then on that same paragraph, what does seek approvals mean? It's kind of all by itself there. The first line of the MOU commits the developer to finalize plans, seek approvals.
Seek approvals. I was referencing the applications that they'll be submitting for rezoning the property. There's currently a planned development district covering the Rock. Assuming they acquire the state land, it would get extended to include that land. And then they'd have to look at the zoning approval for the land south of Rawson.
Alderman, which page are you looking at, Alderman?
Page 2 of the packet.
MOU.
Of the action sheet.
Action sheet.
I don't know if we're going to go right into the MOU, but I do have a question.
You have the floor, Alderman. You can take it wherever you want.
I guess the definition of city, because in the action sheet it says that, second to the last line there, says the MOU leaves open the opportunity for the city and developer to revisit the document for updates and amendments as the project moves forward. On page 6 of the action sheets, which would be page 3 of the MOU, that last large paragraph says that understanding that time is of the essence, the parties, and in parentheses it says the city represented by staff. So in this action sheet, what does the definition of city mean?
Sure. So the action sheet is my generalized summary of the MOU. The document that actually would be signed would be the MOU. And so just to clarify, we're referencing how it would be updated.
Who would be updating that?
Who would be updating it? So the language in the MOU is what I would refer to.
So it's only staff.
Is the document that's being signed.
So it's only staff and the developer.
No. Referencing the actual wording in the MOU, from time to time upon request by developer or city, and approval by developer and the Franklin Common Council, city and developer will update and amend this MOU.
Okay, so then, I'm sorry, in that large paragraph right underneath, understanding that time is of the essence, the parties, the city represented by staff will establish a weekly meeting scheduled to keep each other, and who's each other, advised of progress.
I'm sorry, which page are you referencing?
The same page. It's the paragraph right under the one you just talked about from time to time.
It's got to be just staff. I mean, it's a staff meeting.
Yeah, it's a meeting with staff. That's what we were trying to clarify, that it wouldn't be a weekly meeting of the Common Council and the development team, but with staff.
I guess, and I don't know if Alderman Mayer would agree with this, but it would seem as appropriate that the alderperson of the district be involved in those meetings. If not the alderperson, then someone that he would suggest represent him. I don't know if that's something. I would change something like that. If the alderman agrees with that, I would support that 100%.
These are open meetings.
Alderman Mayer.
Oh, sorry. These are open meetings, so I think anybody's free to attend them, correct?
Just staff not? Meetings.
No.
Staff meetings.
Because I don't know that necessarily that I need to be or want to be ushering this through one way or the other. I don't know. I think staff should do their job and then present to us what they arrive at with the developer, and then we can objectively judge that. I don't think I should be involved with the negotiations or anything, because that would lead to, I could be misrepresenting one side or the other side. I think I need to look at what's developed and then vote on that objectively.
Okay.
Alderman Mayer, you still have the floor.
That's it for now. Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Mayer, and then Alderman Taylor.
I'll pass.
Alderman Taylor.
I just want to clarify. I understand what Alderwoman Mayer was getting. It's that third, on page 3, that third last paragraph, whatever. Just so staff is clear, when you're reading that, it says, from time to time and upon request, the developer of the city and approval by the developer and the Franklin Common Council, comma, city, developer updates. So what the understanding is, the policymakers is the Common Council. And when you're talking about the city, you're talking about the policy that the Common Council established, not the mayor, not city staff, that the Common Council, the six of us, are the policymakers, and unless we adopt something or make an amendment, nothing changes.
Correct.
Okay. That's I think, where you were probably getting at. It was kind of confusing seeing that in the city, and then the next paragraph, city staff. I mean, because city's being used to represent different things, but as policymakers, we establish it.
Certainly.
Mayor will make sure it's implemented. He can't stray from it, and staff can't stray from it. So as long as we're clear on that, then I think I'm okay with all this.
Sure.
Is that good?
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
And frankly, that, Mr. City Attorney.
Ultimately, the bottom line under this memorandum of understanding with regard to staff is if the Common Council decides to approve this memorandum, it's directing staff to work with the developer as it does on all other matters, including pre-application filing. And there is a note in here that time is of the essence, meaning there are deadlines, mm-hmm. which is very common in all applications. And as the Economic Development Director said at the beginning of his presentation, the only thing that's a little bit different is that the MOU says that the city will hire a financial consultant, but that's not generally unusual. The city does that all the time and has been looking at that next step with regard to this area for over a year, I believe. So, and that agreement upon receipt of a proposal from a consultant would come back to the Common Council for review and approval. Staff cannot enter into contracts for the city.
And I would just add, Your Honor, that Alderman Mayor is absolutely correct. I mean, this is where the sausage is made. This is where they're going to hash things out, eventually bring something to us. We don't need to be involved in the fine details, not in a project like that. So I would agree with what you're saying. And if at some point there's a standstill where the city staff needs more direction or the developer is having issues with city staff, that's when that will be brought to our attention to get involved. And I could see that happening because, you know, there's going to be give and take. So I think the way this is written, I fully support. And, you know, I think let's, you know, we got qualified staff and they've hired a great team. And combined, we hopefully can get to something that that works for the city.
These two paragraphs are put in there on purpose. The first paragraph says the Common Council and elected officials, I'm part of this Common Council, makes the decisions. And staff does staff work. That's all it means. That's all it means. Alderman Taylor. I'm sorry, Alderman Mayor. Sorry.
Just a point of clarification. It's not that, and I agree with you, Alderman Taylor, it's not that I don't need to be involved with it or I don't want to be involved with it, but what if I'm either very for it or very against it? I would be leading the whole discussion in that direction, and then when it comes to us, how could I vote on that objectively? So if I'm against it from the start, I can't work to help develop it. If I'm for it from the start, I can't objectively look at it. So staff needs to do what they need to do, not that I don't want to, but then they bring it to us forward. For the audience, I don't know if you know what the MOU entails and what, if we approve it, if we agree to it tonight, what we'd be agreeing to, but it is just a generalization of moving things forward in a good faith effort for those at the ROC to do what they need to do and for the city to move things through. Quite frankly, though, I don't quite understand why we need it, because I understand from the ROC's point of view with what you guys went through last time, you want some kind of a commitment. And the city's looking for things, too, but I don't quite know why we need to do it, because the general permit process should cover these things. There are, I will point out, there's two huge things in the MOU, one good, one not necessarily good. One very positive thing is what Alderwoman Mayor alluded to, was the pilot a payment in lieu of taxes. The stadium is built on county property. Franklin gets no taxes from that. A payment in lieu of taxes is essentially them paying us taxes. So that's a huge difference than was before on the last one. Huge. It doesn't answer all of the questions, though. The other negative side is the deadlines again. We ran up against the deadlines last time. The council had our back against the wall because we had to make decisions by certain dates. That didn't work out so well either. So one very positive, one not so good thing involved with this. Still a lot of questions. The methane still has to be answered. Milwaukee County has to weigh in. Department of Natural Resources has to give the approval right away. And the biggest thing that I'm getting complaints about now are the apartments. And when we come to the apartments, if they're approved, if they go forward, we need to have much more discussion on the layout and on buffering. We talked about you guys owning the state property now. Do you own all of the property where the apartments will be?
Mr. Marshall.
We own majority of it, and the rest of it is almost under contract or under contract at this point.
Okay, almost under contract or under contract. So it will be your property for this to move forward. But I think that needs a lot more discussion, as I said, and I think there's still room for adjustments there. So methane still has to be answered definitively. DNR still has to weigh in on this. County has to. And it's also important for everyone to understand whatever is built on county property, whether we get those payments in lieu of taxes or not, is still county property. So any building on that parcel that's owned by county is county's, not Franklin's. That's important. I'll have a couple more things to say. I'm sure others want to say something.
I do have a point to make here. The city and the future applicant, well, wait a minute, you did file for the CSM, did you? And the applicant have been working actually pretty well together. I think key to that is that there's a defined set of people doing the discussions. So let's all respect that and allow the process to work forward. Council offers the direction, but the execution is done by others.
And that's staff.
And the mayor. Alderman Nair.
Just to piggyback off of what Alderman Mayer said, that time is of the essence, and we're kind of up against the clock here. Maybe putting something in there on that last paragraph about it becoming a staff priority. I understand that they're under a lot of pressure, and they have a lot of other things going on, but this really should be made a priority, and that I feel should be in the MOU to move everything forward and that the council gets what they need to in a timely manner.
Alderman Schmidt.
Going back to what Alderman Mayer was referring to, the one thing that does make me nervous is the deadline. Understand in your last presentation about looking forward to breaking ground this spring and having a baseball team in place by next year in 2017. We faced those deadlines the last time when we ran into a lot more hurdles. Obviously, there's a lot more uniform development going on here, but I still am concerned about trying to have all these pieces in place in time to break ground this spring. I don't know how urgent that having that team in place in 2017 is in regards to the overall magnitude of this project.
Certainly, as far as the magnitude of the project and the timeline, there certainly is a timeline. There certainly are deadlines. And the idea with this is to establish the goal as to what we're going to try to work towards. Whether it happens or not, it's putting the target out there. It's putting the goal forward that we're going to shoot for on that side of things. Does that help?
It's not a life or death, though, is it, for 2017?
It could be. It's to be determined yet.
Just so everybody recognizes, the direction that I've sensed from the Common Council is the direction that the staff has been given to work on this project with all due diligence and timeliness. So, Alderman
Taylor. But it can go in the MOU.
Pardon me?
But it can go on the MOU.
Alderman Taylor, then Alderman Wilhelm.
So all I see in terms of deadlines is the year 2017. There's nothing that says by June 1st. So that's why I'm hearing a couple of people talk about deadlines up here. And I really don't see them. I just see 2017. I think this is a little bit different than the last time around. I don't think you can compare the two of them. The second thing is what I just find fascinating is that I remember in maybe springtime reading an article in the Business Journal where it said 4 out of 6 aldermen approached the developer hoping that they could come back and take a look at the city of Franklin, knowing full well that they were in negotiations with the city of Oak Creek. Now, I say 4 out of 6. Well, I wasn't here. So I'm guessing that person wasn't one of them, so do the math. So it's not like there wasn't a desire to see something like this happen. I think this council is, based on actions so far, has said we like the concept. No one at the meeting at the library was saying that the concept was bad. It's going to come down to, you know, DNR, DOT, you know, the actual, the financing of it, you know, whether the TIF works, the numbers. So it's not like any of the stuff we're going to be discussing, to me, is a big shock, because we were talking about this 2 years ago at this time. And all that's changed is the project has gotten way better compared to what was original. And there was an MOU that this Common Council adopted unanimously, the former Common Council with Mayor Taylor, myself, State Representative Skoronsky, unanimous supported it, and a meeting took place right after the election, when I was gone and Mayor Taylor was gone and Representative Skoronsky was gone, and it got defeated. So here you have a memorandum of understanding that is not as actually fine, you know, as defined. It has a little more flexibility. You have actual a person that owns most of the land we're talking about instead of just hoping to own land. You have a partner in UWM, which you didn't have before. You have a developer that owns 3 minor league teams. So I just am trying to figure out how any of this is a shock, because this has been talked about, I think, since April, if I go back to that Business Journal article. So I see 2017, but as long as everything, you know, you guys, as staff, knows there's you know, something, try to get something done. There's really no hard deadline, but we'd like to make it happen. I mean, I don't think any of us want to be dealing with this for the next year. Let's get to a point where we see numbers. Let's get to a point where we know whether this can work or not. That would be my intention. But, like, none of this stuff should be new. And actually, from the last time, it's way better. So that's all I have to say.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Mayor, and I guess Alderman Taylor all brought up the timing. And so I guess I would ask that Alderwoman Mayor suggest some language under the priority into the MOU. Well, while I'm trying to formulate my questions, so I'm looking at page 2 of the MOU, which is page 5 of the council packet, item F. It talks about the city's financial consultant, in particular the developer will contract the market feasibility study for the developer and provide details to city staff and the city's financial consultant. So we're signing this MOU. We don't have that city financial consultant in place, but this would then allow staff to go ahead and do that, but it would have to come back to council. That's my understanding. I just want to clarify that. And I just want to see how that fits in with the council action sheet. Additionally, the MOU commits the city to engage a financial consultant to assist in reviewing the developer's market feasibility study. Okay, so I see where we're going with that, and that's a good step for checking for the city. Then on the city's end, on page 3 of the MOU, page 6 of the council packet, item A, the very first one, the city will direct city staff and consultants. Again, we don't know who the consultants are. Are we talking more than a financial consultant here with an S, consultants? Or what is that referring to there?
There may be engineering consultants.
Okay.
There may be environmental consultants.
Okay. So.
But all of that's yet to be determined.
Okay, but by putting this in place, we're basically saying we're willing to hire those, but they have to come back. I just want to verify that. And then on B, it says engage and direct a financial consultant to work with the city and the developer. I guess I would feel more comfortable if we had an independent consultant look at the figures instead of staff direction. What happened with the last project is we got right down to the MOU, and we're sitting in a meeting, and we were all convinced by non-consultants, resident members, that the figures didn't work. And so I understand the mayor is staff does the work. We do the policy. And but then he added, and the mayor. So I guess I just would like to see the independent consultant do this and not have an influence either way by city staff. I think having the city staff assist with the figures is a great thing, but I'm concerned about too much control over how those staff numbers work or where they're coming from or how that's come up with. Is it going to be who's engineering? Is it going to be the city consultant engineering? When we say the city's financial consultant, don't we really want an independent consultant's determination instead of our influence, I guess, is. So that's the only one that probably item B, we're engage and direct a financial consultant. Can we just hire an independent consultant instead of engage and direct a financial consultant? That I would like to strike the engage and direct and insert the hire an independent consultant to work with the city and the developer. That would be my suggestion. And also the suggestion on the bottom with it taking priority, because we keep hearing how staff is busy, and if they have a timeline, we should work with them on that. Those are the only two changes that I would suggest.
Okay, I just need to comment on your comment on item A. It says direct staff and consultants to work with the developer. It does not say pay for, although that may enter into it.
B was my change.
Well, your first comment relating to A said that the city would hire consultants. We may, but that's not part of this.
Right.
Relative to B, the intention of this, as I believe from the developer as well as staff comment, is to absolutely hire someone. But without providing them direction, how do they know what to do?
Could I respond to that?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I would think if they're a financial consultant, they should know how to do that. That would be their job. So if they have questions, they could simply go to the developer, or they could go to the city and ask those questions. So I guess I would just like an independent, solid review of the project, and I think that's the best way to get it, because Alderman Mayer made a good point. If there's people that are for the project, it's going to go one way. If there's people that are against the project, it could go another way. So why not let the independent consultant look at those figures? And so that's it seems reasonable to me. We've done that before. We have an independent review. And I just go back to how the whole thing fell apart last time by, you know, suggestion that this doesn't work, that doesn't work, but we really had no independent review. It was just people telling us what works and what doesn't work. So,
okay, for the record, on the record, the vote was 6-0 to reject the previous MOU. There seems to be an effort here to insert opinions as to what the mayor may or may not want to do. The mayor is the mayor. you can try to cut me out, but it's probably not going to work. Now, as to your comment about independent, why would we not have an independent review? The way this is going to work
is... then you shouldn't...
Alderwoman, the way this is going to work is the developer is going to come with their feasibility analysis, and we're going to send that off to someone else to check it. What more do you want to say? Alderman Dandria.
It's my understanding on this same topic that when we engage or when we hire a financial consultant, we are going to put it out for bid. And there will be independent financial consultants that we will select on what they're going to charge to evaluate this process. So they're going to be totally independent. I don't know why we have to have a separate consultant to review the consultant. We already are going to evaluate. They've got their consultant. We are not going to just say, hey, we're going to have A do this. We're going to put it out for bid, and we will take the bid that is within our policy to accept a financial consultant. They will be independent of the process, and it's usually consultants that we work for the city, you know, that have worked in this community and worked in the state. So it's already going to be independent.
Okay, first of all, you can put any language in there you want. I don't object to that.
Thank you.
So, Mr. City Attorney, then Alderman Taylor.
Here's how I read the provision. The city's going to hire a financial consultant to review feasibility as well as the availability of a tax incremental district being created. In the history of the city of Franklin, Ehlers Financial has been the city's consultant. In nearly every single case, every project of substance that it reviewed, they have to communicate with potential developers in reviewing the matter in their two- or three-step tax incremental district process. The Common Council, back, I believe, in 2014, had a proposal from Ehlers for this area, and the council never got to it because it didn't proceed with the project at the time. And I dare say whether the language changed or is not, or if you change, work with the city and developer to work with the city and communicate with the developer, or put the word independent in there, if the Common Council approves this memorandum of understanding, I dare say that the Economic Development Director will have an action sheet with an Ehlers proposal akin to what was before the council 2 years ago at the next meeting.
Alderman Taylor.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Your Honor. It's my understanding that the developer is okay with the MOU. Is that correct? All right. So I really...
Greg nodded up and down.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good job, Your Honor. So I'm not as concerned about some of the fine details, fine lines. But trust me, all right, I get it. I really get it up here, all right? I wasn't born yesterday. I've done this long enough to know, 12 years total and three different levels of government. I've done it. And I'm not concerned, about trying to cut the mayor out. And I know you said, what would you say, Steve? You said what the mayor is going to do, what the mayor is not going to do. There's a lot of, how did you put it? I don't know exactly.
I don't remember.
Neither do I.
I'm old.
Right.
I am.
You have it? Okay. But the point but the point is this. The mayor will be involved in this. But I'm sorry. As much as I would love to have the utmost confidence in the mayor on this project, I don't. I stood with you for 5 years as equals. I watched you for 18 months from the outside looking in, and I've served for 6 months back here. So, or not quite six, so we're maybe rounding the numbers. So, yes, you're going to be involved, but there's going to be skepticism. There's going to be caution. There's going to be doubt. That's for me, and I've done this long enough to know. to have watched how you operate as an alderman and now as mayor for almost 2 years. So that is why maybe there is some concern by some of us who, as Alderman Wilhelm, was kind of getting to it in the nicest way possible, because she does it in such a, she does it better than I do. She's had more time sitting up here while you've been mayor. So, yes, you're going to be involved, but don't think that we're not going to question things if we feel that they're not done the way we'd like to see it. And because we're the policymakers, we can pivot and we can make changes. But you should be involved. So you have my full support to be involved, but we'll be watching.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Wilhelm.
Back to the issue at hand. If I was sitting in the audience tonight, and I've heard this discussion, I was listening to this discussion, I would think we're voting on something that's moving the project that hasn't really even started yet. We're approving it to completion. We're not doing that. This is just an MOU, just the basics, and pretty much everything that we've talked about over the years is being addressed in the MOU in one way or another. One thing that I'm not necessarily comfortable with is all of the discussion in the MOU about a TIF district. If we do a TIF district, it's for the area. It's not for this project only. It may benefit this project, but it's for the entire area. And so I don't want to give anybody the false impression that this TIF district, if it goes through, is just for this project. And if it wasn't for this project, we wouldn't have a TIF district. If it wasn't for the TIF district, we wouldn't be talking about this project. So they can go hand in hand, but the TIF district is much broader, and I get a little uncomfortable with some of that language. And then one more thing, if I could ask Joel to come forward. Joel, I just need in regards to my first statement here, if I was sitting in the audience, I would think that this MOU was approving everything. It's really not doing that. Could you kind of outline the steps that still have to be taken? This is kind of just in my view, it's just kind of a nicety. Yeah, we're all going to work together. But really, there's steps, and at various steps, there's still going to be public input. There'll be process for public input at various steps. So regardless of which way we go, there's still going to be public input, and this isn't giving a blanket okay.
Correct.
Mr. Deedle?
Thank you.
How about the conversation you and I had a couple of days ago on the phone? That might be helpful, where you ran down for me the sure. timing of all of this.
The first thing I'd want to mention is the process. There's nothing in this MOU that I've seen that changes how staff is going to do our review for the zoning and planning aspects of this project. The only difference I see is we'll be meeting more often. We don't usually meet on a weekly basis. We meet on an as-needed basis. But this would be pinning us down to meeting every week, or unless otherwise determined that there was nothing to talk about. Generally, this process will include the following steps no matter what, because it's required by the ordinance. The applicant has to provide us a full and complete submittal for whatever they're asking for. And we've already gotten most of the materials. They're asking for a planned development district amendment, so they want to amend the district for the ROC, and it's going to require a comprehensive master plan amendment. Those are the two first steps that are going to be required for this project no matter what. There are other additional steps that will be necessary down the road. They could do those now or later, but that's always been, in similar situations, the applicant's choice. I can briefly mention that the PDD that we did for the Hunger Task Force. They knew that they're going to be doing some additional buildings in the future, but they decided not to submit that information at this time. This applicant's probably going to do something similar along those lines. So from a technical standpoint, they have to submit the application. This MOU doesn't change that. It has to be a full and complete submittal. This MOU doesn't change that. Then we have to start staff review. And again, it appears it's only going to be at this point in time just the PDD amendment and a comprehensive master plan amendment. It doesn't look at this point, because I haven't reviewed the materials yet, doesn't look like it's going to be a detailed here's the architectural and engineering plans for the stadium. It doesn't look like they have that level of detail yet. So we're going to have staff review. Staff comments go to the applicant, just like they always do. We have time frames for that, from full and complete submittal, 2 weeks. We provide comments. They decide how to respond to those comments. We'll identify which of those comments are things that they have to change by ordinance, whether they have to make those changes now or later. We'll identify which of those comments are just sound planning ideas, past practice, those kinds of things. We identify all that in the comments we provide them. But they still decide how they want to respond to all those comments and whether they want to change their plans or not. So then the ball is now in their court. They've received staff comments. It's up to them to decide how or if they want to change those plans. When they make that decision, they have to submit. When they submit, or I should take a step before I do that, right after we send out those staff comments, we'll have had a good enough look at that material that we'll know exactly what kind of public hearing has to go out, make sure we get the legal description right, all those kinds of things, required by state statute and by city code. We want to get that right, so that'll come at the tail end of our staff review. Then we can set up the public hearings, and then everything works back from those public hearings. The public hearing for the Plan Development District Amendment will be at the Plan Commission, and I think that requires two notices in the paper. There'll be a public hearing requirement for the Comprehensive Master Plan. That's one notice in the paper. 30 days before the meeting, that public hearing is at the Common Council. So once those public hearing notices go out, now the meetings are set. So then we work back from that time frame. You know, we provided the applicant comments within 10 days. They decide if they want to make any changes. They decide if they want to resubmit again or just go with the original materials they provided us. Then that goes to the Plan Commission, where we have that public hearing at the Plan Commission on both recommendations for the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment and the PDD Amendment. At that meeting, at that public hearing, it's the Plan Commission's decision based on the plans they see, the comments they receive, if they want to make a recommendation that night or not. They usually do, but they don't always. So there's always a chance the Plan Commission may table that item to the next meeting to consider the comments they've received, because in a matter like this, we'll probably have received emails and letters and phone calls, and we'll pass along all that information to the Plan Commission. Once they give a recommendation, all that information is then forwarded to the Common Council, and irrespective of that time frame, there still will be the public hearing at that council meeting. When we send out that public hearing notice, we'll know what date that is for the Common Council to review and potentially act on the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment. But staff always encourages, always recommends that everything go together. So we're going to be pushing as hard as we can to get that Plan Development District in front of the Common Council the same time the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment is in front of the Common Council. So now both those items would be in front of the Common Council, and this is the process that we always use. And then the Common Council has a public hearing on the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment, and then they decide if they want to act that night or not. They could decide that they want a table to give more time to listen to the public or whatever. And then they decide, whether it's at that meeting or some future meeting, whether those two items are approved. And then again, if those are the only two items that are going through this process, which it appears at this time, they'll have to come back for many more approvals. If it doesn't have that level of detail for a site plan approval or a special use approval, remembering that the way the Plan Development District is set up now, the stadium is special use, I would probably not recommend changing that. So staff's recommendation would be that would still be a special use. That would still require more detailed plans, still require another public hearing. So none of those things change. So that's the process. That doesn't change from how we've done it before. The only thing that I would say is different is, again, that at this point in time, it's looking like they won't have those detailed plans for site plans and those kinds of things. Those would have to come back. And again, those would be for the individual buildings, any certified survey maps if they want to split up properties, the stadium itself, all those would have to come back for subsequent approvals. So that's what it looks like at this time. I haven't completed reviewing the materials yet. Probably will be doing that in the next day or so, and then that starts that staff review process.
Alderman Mayer still on the floor.
Thank you, Joel. That was very Very informative. Thank you. Things will come back separately, too, correct? The stadium will come back through that process. The apartments will come back through that process, the mixed-use buildings, whatever. They'll all have their own process. It won't all just come as one lump sum, take it or leave it.
From what the applicant has previously said, it sounds like they want to do phases so that those approvals may also come in phases, those projects may also come in phases. So they may do the stadium first, maybe something else along with it, then they'll come back and do some of the apartments or some of the office or something. It will come in phases. The applicant proposes those phases. But just like any other aspect of the project, it has to be approved. The whole thing has to be approved by the council. So at any point, the council is uncomfortable with the phasing, with the details of a site plan or a special use, the council does not have to approve it if they're not comfortable with it. And so it is important for the applicant to stay in close contact, not only with staff and the neighbors, but the aldermen of the district as well, to get the feel for that kind of stuff. You know, if the council has a preference for phasing, the details, how much comes at once, pass that along to staff, and we'll pass that along to the consultant or to the applicant. But yes, in any event, whatever details, you know, I can't imagine departing from what we've done in the past from a staff recommendation standpoint. I would not feel comfortable approving a stadium without the detailed plans. If they want to provide that later and that common council is comfortable with that, it would just come later, but it's still the same steps they would have to ultimately go through anyway. Special use with all the site plan details, engineering, architecture, all the landscaping, parking, lighting, all those things. And just for the public's information, it's not uncommon to approve those with conditions. We want them to make further changes. They provided the lighting, but only details on part of the lighting, and we want details on all the lighting. It's not uncommon to have conditions in those approvals by Plan Commission and or Council. So again, I see that process working out the same.
Okay. And none of that changes with this MOU. This changes none of that process.
That changes.
It doesn't enhance it. It doesn't detract from it.
The extra meetings.
Extra meetings. Okay. So that's the only thing that would be extra meetings from the MOU. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joel.
Lord knows we need more meetings around here. For those of you in the audience, what Joel just outlined, Mr. Dietl's our planning manager, was the city approvals. We didn't talk about state approvals. There's DOT. The concept included some reconfiguration of some on-ramps on Loomis Road. There's the county approval. They have to approve the use on the parkland, as I understand. And as I understand, it's also got to go to the county board. So there's also the 800-pound elephant in the room. It's a DNR on the methane stuff. But that's not the applicant. That's working through the county, as I understand. So there's a lot of moving parts here. Joel just outlined what the city was.
We're on top of it.
So, city attorney, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Mayor, Alderman D'Andrea.
Actually, I was next after Dan. You'd already called on me.
So. And I'm good.
Did I crush you off?
I was crushing
you off,
Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do Alderman Wilhelm, the city attorney, Alderman Mayor, Alderman D'Andrea.
Okay, because of the order and how we have to wait everyone's turn, my comments are a little bit delayed in responding, but I just want to clarify that Alderman D'Andrea sort of made it sound like I was asking for another consultant to overview our consultant or something. That's not my, was not my intention in any way or form on that. So what I did hear was Alderman D'Andrea say, we're going to hire an independent consultant. I heard the mayor say it will be an independent consultant, and I heard the city attorney clearly say, which was in the point I started taking notes, and that will be on the tape, that he did say the city will hire an independent consultant. So with all the confirmation of hire an independent consultant, I would think that that would be appropriate language and be to strike engage and direct and put hire an independent financial consultant. So I would still like to do that. I guess I'd like to know from the developer's standpoint on that, but first I'd like to point out that I want this project to be fair. I want it to be fairly assessed from both the residents that are opposing it, the residents that want it, the city staff that are in favor, and the city staff that have concerns. I'm only looking for this to be fair from all sides. We've had a lot of complaints from developers in the past that says they weren't being treated fair. So I brought this up because I was pointing out a concern. It wasn't personal on the mayor, and I feel a little bit offended that that was his very first reaction, and I want to make that clear that while Alderman Taylor is correct that I have had concerns, I'm not telling him he can't work on the project as a mayor, but I'm just expressing where I think we could make some positive changes for the whole process. And taking a quote from the city attorney, it's not the who, it's the what. And in this matter, it's not the mayor, it's the fact that I would like to have a fair process. So with that, I would like to ask the developer if they have any concerns about the striking of engaged and independent and inserting hire an independent. I've heard from the council members and city attorney that that change would not make any legal changes to what the wording is.
Blair Williams, Wired Properties, 2022 East North Avenue, Milwaukee. I think you're making a very valid point. What you're really looking for is a third-party consultant to review things objectively. Having worked in a number of municipalities with a variety of municipal tax consultants, what I can tell you is that firms like Ehlers, who I have worked with before, they stake their entire professional reputation on their ability to look objectively at the needs of, and wishes of their clients.
In a little closer to the microphone, I'm getting a little
sure.
In the back.
In a case like this particular development, I think it's very important that the consultant that the city does hire, and I think hiring and directing, are that there may be a bit of a distinction without a difference there, because you are going to hire them with a task at hand in front of them.
Correct.
And that task will be to review a feasibility study prepared by our side of the table to determine whether or not, one, they believe that our proposed development is feasible, and two, whether a financing package can be created that meets the city's requirements and expectations while at the same time serving the needs of the development team in order to accomplish the end game. In my experience, the most fundamental aspects of that relationship are that the municipal tax consultant have, one, the ability to objectively assess the underlying merits and demerits of the case in front of them, but two, to understand the specific needs and requirements of the municipality to which they're providing that service. So the fact that Ehlers and Associates has served your municipality in the past does suggest to me that they have a deep understanding of not only the underlying financial opportunities and constraints that Franklin may face, but also the underlying potential for future performance in Franklin.
Okay.
And I do think that this notion of independent, it would be difficult to escape the responsibility and obligation that you as a council maintain to ensure that they are, in fact, going down the path that they've been tasked with going with. I commented to a colleague, I said I would love to be hired as a consultant without a task given to me and to just take my retainer and go.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I think that the strength of your consultants in many ways will be measured by the strength of direction they're given. And I don't mean to suggest that personal subjective assessment will influence it. However, really effective fiduciary obligations as represented in giving them a clear path to follow will help you get the best product that you can get.
And I guess my thought was,
it's not right too, Kristen.
Yeah, it's done on purpose.
It's you.
Yeah.
Actually, this is an older system.
Okay. So my thought was, rather than have an MOU that has a staff directing the consultant, that the contract would lay out those terms. because the contract's going to have to come back to the council. So what I'm saying, and certainly staff is going to be involved, there's no way around having staff involved, but the direction and what their duties are should be included in the contract. And so I thought that, so I
think that, oh, if I may, I think that's very accurate. That's what contracts are, okay. That's what contracts are expected
right.
to do.
Okay.
But I do think that there are moments where in the process things will change, and there will be a need for information, and there will be a need where there may be a time when there are two paths to follow, and the
right.
consultant may look for direction as to which path to follow. And as long as the city has someone who can provide direction and hold them accountable, you will achieve the objectives you're looking mm-hmm. for.
Mr. City Attorney. You forgot?
No, I was Mr. Deedle's back in the audience. I was going to say that with regard to the Plan Development District and any potential future special use, in addition to the newspaper published notices, the adjoining property owners within 500 feet of the boundary of the area, which is the subject of the application, all receive mailed notice too, right?
Correct. Required by law.
Alderman Mayer. And then Alderman Dandrea.
And
I do have a question for Blair. Has any consideration been taken since the proposal at the library last month? Any changes at this point in any of the drawings or site plans or anything?
Are you referring specifically to south of Rawson?
Not necessarily specifically, but if you want to discuss them each individually, that's fine.
We took copious notes at the library and tried to do our best to not only listen but hear what it was that the residents, specifically of the adjoining neighborhoods, had as concerns. As part of this process, one of the things I think that drives the PDD process for us is, one, to establish kind of a baseline general expectation of what the development would look like. However, it's through the specific implementation process where we bring the specific plan that would actually become entitled and then be able to be built that we would be bringing truly refined drawings for the neighbors to see. And we expect going through a very deeply collaborative process. As we've done work in other communities in the past, we would expect that that library meeting is not the only meeting where we would be inviting the public to present their thoughts and fears and hopes to us. That was a formalized process, involving presentation to you all, and that we've also continued to engage the neighbors to understand, on a somewhat more casual process, what will be those things that really are kind of the touch points for them. In the MOU, it refers specifically to two-story buildings along that property line, and what I would anticipate is that the number of buildings will go down, even if the number of units does not necessarily go down. I would anticipate that as we bring to bear what we've done in other municipalities and what we think are best practices nationally for developments like these in communities like Franklin, I think we will be able to bring not only plans but also a clear and distilled presentation of what it is we hope the community would become. And we believe we'll be able to meet many, but certainly not all, of the concerns as raised by the neighbors.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrea.
This might be for Joel, but I'm not sure, but is there a timeline on this MOU, meaning 10 years, 15 years? They want to start with phase one, but there's no really good idea of how long this project may take. And I'm sure the citizens would want to know that if this is going to be a 15-year project.
With the language suggesting that we're working towards 2017, I think that that's the goal set up at this stage. The document sort of lays out this agreement for us continuing to explore the project. I think there's an expectation that it will become a point in time when the project is either approved and moves forward or is stopped, either through lack of continued interest from the development team or an action taken by the council that prevents it from occurring.
If I may,
sure.
I think there's a distinction between the MOU and the PDD that would be subsequent, would occur and be approved subsequent to the MOU. The MOU establishes some of the baseline understandings for how the relationship would work now into a relatively near time horizon. Mm-hmm. The PDD itself, when approved, will almost certainly have certain kind of temporal aspects to it that would define during which period that PDD would remain intact.
Okay. Thanks.
And from the mayor's point of view, this MOU is, sign it or don't, we're going to move on just like this anyway. So, you know, so it can go on in perpetuity because it's the way we do business.
Yeah.
Is that it,
Alderman? Yep, that was it.
Alderman Willem.
Well, I'm prepared to insert the two changes and make the motion to approve the MOU.
Tomorrow.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that the changes are discussed in where I wanted to insert the one in the bottom, which was Alderwoman Mayer's. So she didn't suggest something, so I put in the last paragraph, the one that started with the developer in the city, in the sentence that begins with understanding that time is of the essence, the parties, parentheses, the city represented by the staff will establish a weekly meeting schedule to keep each other advised of progress and to coordinate their efforts with the understanding of the project's priorities. That would be the insertion in that, and then B, with the hire an independent, as we've discussed several times. Those would be the two suggested changes that...
Mr. City Attorney.
I understand independent consultant to be Ehlers Financial. Just in case there's any confusion on that.
Okay,
exactly.
So the suggested language is employ Ehlers and Associates as?
We could.
We could do that.
Is that your motion?
Well, it might be tomorrow, but we'll...
Well, let's put it down on paper today so that staff can revise this, get it in front of the applicant. I can now call you an applicant. And they can say yes or no, which I'm sure they'll say yes, but... It'll be a clean piece of paper at your council too. So we'll make those changes and move on. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.